All right, Jebusai, good morning, good morning, good morning. What is Chos Baruch Hashem, another day. Another day, another daf. We'll say, here we go. So begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating all of Sherman's Rashos this month in honor and memory of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah Bas Avram Zichronon Levracha. To thank Avram and Shandy Kelman for dedicating the shiurim this month in memory of Avram's mother, Sarah Breina Bas Yoshua Heschel, and Zichronon Levracha. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, and the family is in the Chama. And to thank Alan and Sue Marowitz for dedicating the daf today. Thank you, thank you. Because in my note it said no sponsorship. Thank you. Meretz Hashem, Shabbi Zocha, Meretz Hashem, to see our children grow and build Batei Ne'eman B'Yisrael. All right, Jebus, with that, let us begin. So today's daf is daf of Vav. A lot to do today. We are picking up on Hey Amud Beis 5b, and we are picking up at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows, V'imeischol lessons. So remember again, going back to the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah is about the following case, right? Reuven is married to Rachel. And what happens? So Reuven warns Rachel, don't be alone with Shimon. Rachel is in violation of that warning. And now let's say there's Eidos, right? There's Eidos. So we'll say, what does the Mishnah say? There's a process. Now, we haven't gotten, by the way, to the second part of the process. In other words, we've only gotten up to the process, up to the violation of the warning, right? After that, we know that triggers the Sota process. We have not seen what that process looks like in the Gemara yet. So now what the Mishnah then ended off with was, what happens after, so now Rachel violates the warning, and now she's alone with Shimon. There's a testimony to that. Now that triggers the Sota process. Let's say now after that, Reuven dies, and in this case over here, Reuven died without children. So what did the Mishnah say? She has to do Chalitza, she can't do Yibum. Says the Gemara, Amai, Tisyabe, Nam Yevumi, why can't she do Yibum? Rav Yosef Amakra, Viyatsami Beisav, Ahisalish Acher. I was, and I remember again, at this point in time, if Reuven were alive, what would be the halacha? The halacha would be that he is not permitted to remain married to her, right? I should say, he's not permitted to continue the marriage as is. Not only that, Rav Yosef, but take it a step further. If halacha lamaisa, let's say there was even an eid echad for Tumah, ultimately, again, he'd be chayiv to go ahead and divorce her. So effectively now, what do we have? We have a situation where the marriage cannot continue as normal. So because the marriage cannot continue as normal, therefore what? Therefore, again, the Gemara says, at this point in time, the marriage can't really continue. If the marriage can't continue, then of course, were the husband to die, ultimately Yibum would not be able to be performed. Well, in that case, don't require Chalitza either. But remember again, generally, Yibum... I know some people get twitches when I mention Yavamas, right? And so I'll say, remember again from our Yavamas days, so Yibum and Chalitza are two sides of the same coin. So if she's not going to do Yibum, then why should she have to Chalitza? Amrale ilu isi labal milo bayaget. No, that's not true. Because remember again, I will say, let's play this out. Even had there been an eid echad for Tumah, what would an eid echad for Tumah trigger? What would it trigger? It would trigger the need for a get. In other words, the marriage doesn't just dissolve by itself. Right, Reuven is still married to Rachel. So in the same way, if Reuven was still alive and there was an eid echad for Tumah, he'd be obligated to give her a get. So since he's obligated to give her a get, that means what? There is a marriage. So because there is a marriage, if he dies without children, halacha lemaisa, there's an obligation for Chalitza, but we're not going to allow Yibum. Why? Because this marriage was already what we'll call in an active state of disintegration. So because of that, Chalitza would be mandated because there is a marriage. Yibum would not be allowed because, again, the marriage is in an active state of disintegration. To which the Gemara says, the Istamri, an alternate version of this, Amar Rav Yosef, Rachmana Amar V'yotza Mibeso V'halcha V'isilish Acher Delo Listre Lebeise. So I'll say, so remember again, in this kind of case, especially where there was an Eid Echad for Tumah, what would happen? The Torah says, listen, Reuven, you have to divorce Rachel. right? Because again, this marriage is eroding, right? So she has to leave the house. She can marry someone else. Ultimately, again, in order that she not destroy the home. And now you want her to do yibum. Wow, so I must listen to this. Well, if you're going to tell me that Rachel is a homewrecker, right, and that Mamish, again, she's causing the active disintegration of her own marriage by going ahead and violating her husband's warning, or maybe even Toma, so why should we even allow her to marry someone else? Right? So again, if she's doing this here, perhaps we should prevent her from marrying another man as well. Amrlei, top of Vav. So first of all, again, no one's forcing the second husband to marry her. In other words, remember again, so, you know, when you call her shidduch references, they're not exactly going to be glowing, right? So lemaisa, again, and no one's forcing Shimon to go ahead and marry this woman. So the ikada amri, what's the alternate version of this? Amr Rav Yosef, hakasav karo acher. This is actually fascinating. How does the Torah, so we'll say, remember again, let's just play this out, right? So Reuven warns Rachel, don't be alone with Shimon, right? Rachel, let's say, is either alone with Shimon, or for that matter, again, let's say there's even an Eid Echad, that there was Tumah with Shimon. So we'll say, what happens in such a situation like that? Dissolution of the marriage, she has to give her a get. So the Torah says, what happens when a husband gives his wife a get? Yatsami beso, she leaves his home. V'halcha v'haisalish acher, she marries another man. So we'll say, the Gemara says, though Rabbi Yosef says, the Torah calls the second husband an acher. Now we'll say acher means what? She'ein ben zugo shal rishon. That he is of an inferior standing to husband number one. Why? Shezeh hotzi risha mi beso. This one removed evil from his home. So we'll say, so again, remember, the Gemara's understanding over here, the context of this particular divorce to be as a result of immorality. So Reuven is divorcing Rachel because of a matter of immorality, and then what happens? Shimon marries her, right? So the Torah calls already. The Torah calls the second husband an acher. That lashon of acher is because again the Torah looks at Shimon as a man of inferior spiritual quality to Reuven, right? Reuven is divorcing his wife because of a matter of immorality, and then what is Shimon doing? Shimon is going ahead and marrying this very same woman. And I watch this. So of course you're not going to allow Yibum. Of course you're not going to allow Yibum. So I listen to this. This is actually pretty profound. Well, if that's the case, so let me get this straight. Right? So Reuven is doing the right thing and that he's divorcing Rachel because it's a matter of immorality. Shimon, when he marries Rachel, we look at Shimon as like a little bit of inferior spiritual quality because he's going ahead and marrying a woman who dissolved her first marriage because of immorality. Now listen, I watch this. Now let's play this out. So now Reuven divorces Rachel. Shimon marries Rachel. Probably Shimon is not the right name to use, right? Because Shimon was the guy about whom she was warned about. Let's say Levi, right? Levi marries Rachel, or it could be Shimon also. Point, this second guy marries Rachel. Now listen, I watch this. What happens if second husband dies without children? Second husband dies without children. Elimeata nises la'achar umes polobanim lo tisyabim dakos of karo achar gabe dahai. Right, so let's listen to this. Maybe we shouldn't allow Rachel to do yibum, right, with second husband's brother, because after all, again, this whole second marriage is looked at in an inferior spiritual quality, to which the Gemara gives an amazing answer. Mia, to which the Gemara says, gabe dahai mia b'shem tov havakaima. It will say, this is incredible. This is incredible. You know what? It's true, things didn't work out in Rachel's first marriage. But as far as we know, in marriage number two, she's fine. Take a look at Rashi. I'll say Rashi's almost right across. B'shem tov, havakaima, v'ika lemeimar, hadraba, v'ein karei acher, el hanesua mitoch amanus, o gerushin, al mishakal kalav. Well, so listen to this. Lemaisa, maybe Rachel did tshuva. Whatever happened in the first marriage, happened in the first marriage. But as far as we know, Lemaisa, again, in her second marriage, she is an upright and righteous citizen. Therefore, again, should husband number two die without children, what would be the halacha? What would be the halacha? She would do yibam. She will say, it's such a fascinating Gemara. They supposed to say, what is the Gemara saying? What's the Musar Haskil? Right? What's the Hashkafa Lamaisa from a Gemara like this? Well, saying, that your past need not follow you into your present and need not impede your ability to build your future. Rachel may have made some serious mistakes in her first marriage, but those mistakes of her past need not define the woman who she is right now and the woman who she wants to be. We'll say the three most incredible words, three most incredible words that exist within all of rabbinic literature. You know what they are. Three most incredible words. You guessed it, right? You guessed it. My dehava hava. My dehava hava. What was, was. The three most incredible words. Rabbi Osai, I'm telling you, it should be our sheer bumper sticker. Right? And it's easy. It's a small one also, right? You can put it right under, my kid is an honor roll student, which I'm going to ask you if you have that. Take it off. I'll tell you why I should take it off. Just as an aside, take it off. I'll tell you what I was saying. It's a din in sensitivity. I'm very against these things. I'll tell you why. Imagine for a moment you're in carpool line and the kid behind you is not on honor roll, right? And now, so they're sitting there stuck in carpool traffic, right? Especially if someone's triple parked, right? Which always happens. Well, right? So imagine you're the kid or you're the parent sitting behind there, right? Think about the parent. Parents have to deal. But the kid, why should a kid have to look at that? Why should they? And to be honest, no one actually cares if your kid is on honor roll as well, right? So take it off. Take it off. No one needs to know that. Anyway, Jose, so back to the schedule program. Jose, so it's like my dog ran. So I've come to realize that. Anyway, somebody came to Mechiras Chametz yesterday to sell me their dog. They sell me their dog. I'm like, yeah, on theological grounds, I refuse. I'm not. He said, so what should I do with it? Put it down. I don't know what you should do. I don't know. It's not the one. What do you want me to do? That I'm not here to tell you what to do with your dog. Anyway, I was like, hey, I'm like, I literally had to run out of my son's l'chaim yesterday to go. I'm like, I ran out of my l'chaim. I'm not dealing with your dog. Anyway, I was like, so let me say again. So I say, so back to this. My dehava hava. My dehava hava. I will say three most profound words. Three most, because what does my dehava hava mean? At the end of the day, at the end of the day, so lemaisa again, what was, was. And this is the most haskell over here. The Gemara says, miha b'shem tov hava kaima. We'll say, by the way, you have a bad day, my dehava hava. You had a bad decade, my dehava hava. Life isn't going as you want it to go, and you want to turn it around, my dehava hava. Miha, so we'll say, Rachel, things really did not go well in marriage number one. Okay, right now, marriage number two is looked at as its own independent entity. Rava Amar Rava says, Kal v'chomer in Nistra b'motra la ba'asra la l'kol shekin. So we'll say, Rava says, this shall be a Kal v'chomer. We'll say, listen, Rachel, if ultimately, again, she's back to her first marriage, we're trying to figure out, we'll say, remember again, we're explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that in this particular case, she has to do chalitza ken to yibum. To which Rava says, it's a simple Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? If halacha lemaisa, she becomes asura to her husband, whom she was mutter to, of course she remains asur to the man that she was asur to. Meaning what Rava say, yibum is a chiddush. Right? What's the chiddush of yibum? What's the chiddush of yibum? Normally, your husband's brother is, or I should say, your brother's wife is asur to you. So yibum is a whole chiddush. So lemaisa, in this whole sota process, if halacha lemaisa, she is becoming asura to the man whom she was permitted to, i.e., her husband, then of course she's going to remain asura to the man she was already asur to. Amalei Abaye El Mi'ata. So we'll say, using that logic, Kohen Gadol Shekidish Es Almana Umeis. Listen to this case. What happens if a Kohen Gadol betrothed an Almana? They're both say, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. But I will say, but yeah, we say Kiddushin Tovsin. And now let's say the Kohen Gadol died. The Yeshel Ach Kohen Hedyot. And I will say, the Kohen Gadol has a brother who's a regular Kohen. I will say, now of course, because there's only one Kohen Gadol. Right? So the Kohen Gadol's brother is just a regular Kohen. So we'll say, you would say to yourself, maybe you should say, Halacha Lamaisa, Lotis Yabin. There should be no Yibam in that case. After all, if she's Asra to her husband, right, which is the case over here, she should be Asra to her brother-in-law. And I will say, now we happen to know that Halacha is, in that case, he can do Yibam. He can do Yibam. Which the Gemara says, Ha Asira Vekaima, Kol Shekein Nes. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Imnesra b'motra la, ba'asra la la kol shekein. To which the Gemara says, Lesra, we'll say that's not a good raya case. Why? Because in that case, the amana didn't become asr to the Kohen Gadol. Why the Rat Rabbah saying, asira v'kaima, ultimately, again, she was always asura to him. If she was always asura to him, mutrala, therefore, again, she never really becomes permitted to her brother-in-law to begin with. Okay, so therefore, it's not a good raya case. So we'll say, this is the good raya case. Ella Isha's Kohen Shene'ensa, Umeis v'yishlo ach chalol lo tisyabim. What's the following case? Let's say a Kohen is married to a woman, and then what happens? She's violated. So Rabbi say, we know the tragic case of where the wife of a Kohen is violated. She becomes asura to her husband. So imagine the following case, right? Kohen has a wife. Wife is violated. Wife becomes asura to her Kohanic husband. Kohen husband dies without children. So now Rabbi say, let's say again, the Kohen has a brother who's not a Kohen, he's a chalal. Right? Chalal, let's say again, he's a paternal brother, but the mother ultimately, again, was prohibited to the father. Mamash, right back to our Yivamas days. So we'll say, in that case, maybe you would say, Yibum should not be permitted. Lotis Yabim, im nesra b'motra la, ba'asra la lo kol shekin. Because ultimately, again, if she becomes asura to the man to whom she was originally permitted, i.e. her Kohanic husband, the one who is asr to her ultimately again should remain asr. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good case. I'll tell you why. Onis bi Yisrael Mishra Shari of the Gabe Dahai Leka Isura. I'll say this is only a specific isr to the kahuna. And ultimately, again, when it comes to the brother who's a chalal, he has no such prohibition because, again, he's a chalal and not a kohen. Fine. They will say, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, what comes out from this entire sugya is exactly what we saw in the Mishnah, namely, if husband, back to Reuven, right? If Reuven were to pass away, either I will say after the sota process has been triggered, but she has not yet consumed the waters, or after you had an eid echad for tuma. Let's say now Reuven dies without children. I will say, what would be the halacha? Rachel has to do chalitza and what? Cannot do yibum. Good. That's the takeaway. I will say Mishnah. Ve'ila suros. So we'll say, interesting case over here. These are cases where if Reuven is a Kohen, Rachel is not allowed to eat truma. What are the cases? Number one, Hameres Temei Ani Lecha. We'll say, watch this. What happens if Rachel says to her husband, right, I committed adultery. Temei Ani Lecha, I committed adultery. Right? So we'll say, now we're going to talk about that case because that's an interesting case. Because in that case, she's not automatically believed. The reason we say that is because sometimes we're afraid that maybe she's lying in order to get out of the marriage. Again, we'll talk about that case later on. But in any event, once she makes that declaration, she is not allowed to eat truma. Or shebo edim shitmea. Or witnesses come along and say, we saw that Rachel committed adultery. Va'omeres ini shosa. So we'll say, let's say you have a sota case. And let's say again, Rachel refuses to drink the waters. She refused to drink the waters. So in that case, okay. So in that case, essentially what that does is it triggers dissolution of the marriage. So she will not be able to eat truma. Next, v'shabayla in rotzalash gosa. Interesting case. Let's say again, her husband, Reuven, does not want to give her to drink. He doesn't want to administer the waters. Ultimately, again, v'shabayla ba'ala b'derech. Or I will say, we're going to discuss, remember, sota waters were administered in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a process for when they had to travel from their home to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say he had relations with her in between the time that she became, so to speak, a suspected sota and she drank the water. That essentially invalidates the entire process. Again, we'll get into that, but that invalidates the entire process. So this is a list of women who are not, even if she's married to a Kohen, are not permitted to go ahead and eat truma. Good, let's analyze. Amar Rav Amram. So Rav Amram said as follows. Hamil sa'amalan Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes said the following, and Rav Sheshes' statement was confirmed by the Mishnah. So we'll say, what did Rav Sheshes say? Listen to this. This is a very interesting case. Sota, sheyesh la'im dinas hayam, in the mind bod kinosa. Very interesting. We'll say, let's say you have, so we'll say, let's play this out. Right? Reuven says to Rachel, don't be alone with Shimon. He says it in front of Edim. Now what happens? Rachel is alone with Shimon. Let's say for that matter, there's an eid echad that saw tumah. Whatever the case is, the point that Rav Sheshes is making over here is as once the whole chap of sota, the whole chap of sota, is it only works if there's no edus. In other words, Rabbi say the whole chap of sota. If you take a look at Rashi, sota sheish la'idim madinasiyam shero shenitma amizet. Well, so let's take a step back. What's the whole chap of the process of sota? Right? Why do you need the sota process? Why do you need the sota process? Because we don't know. Right? The whole chap of sota, as well, say two words, raglai medavar. Right? Whole chap of sota is we have our suspicions, but we actually don't know what has unfolded over here. We don't know what's unfolded. Right? So lemaisa again, where Rav Sheshitz comes along and says, I just want to tell you, if there is edus that she committed adultery, the waters will not work. The waters will not work. Because the whole chap of sota is the miraculous process only unfolds if we do not know what happens. But if somewhere in the world there is edus, that will effectively prevent the waters from working, which is fascinating. So I will say, so where does he get this from? My time adamakra, finistera, vihinitma, ve'edinba. Because the pasuk says she secluded, she became defiled, and there is no aid. I will say we are a dash in aid in ba means what? Even in eid echad, right? So there's no testimony. Dileka di yadaba, lafuki ha di ika di yadaba, right? Di ika di yadaba. So I will say this is Rav Sheshet's position that if there is any aidos, even in the other corner of the world, the sota waters will not work. But he supports this from the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? So we'll say witnesses came along. Remember, the second case of the Mishnah was what's the case where she can't eat Shuma? Witnesses came that she's Timea. Da'asu Eidim. Now we'll say, Da'asu Eidim. When are witnesses coming? If you say witnesses come along and say that she committed adultery before she drank the waters, Zonahi. So she's a Zona. She's an adulteress. Right, Ella Labasra Dishasoi. Rather, it has to be able to say when are the Eidim coming? It's fascinating. When are the Eidim coming? After she drank the waters. See, Amrit Pishlama in a mind both Ginosa. See, if you see able to say that if there are witnesses anywhere in the world, the waters don't work. Shapir. Then it makes sense that witnesses are able to say that won't be the case of Mishnah. She drank the water. Nothing happened to her. We assume that means that what? She's innocent. Witnesses came along and say, she's not innocent. She committed adultery. So why didn't the waters work? Because the waters don't work whenever there is eidos. So ultimately, ele'i amrit mayim bot kinosa. But if you say the waters work, even if there's testimony, tigli mosala mafreya tisahadi shakrininu. I will say, if you say the waters work, even when what? Even when there is eidos. Then I will say, if what? If witnesses show up and say she committed adultery and surely drank the water, that's a clear indication that what? That what? That Allah Alamaisa, they're lying. So Rabbi say, this is an incredible idea. So Rav Sheshe says essentially, Allah Alamaisa, if there are witnesses anywhere, those witnesses preclude the waters from working. Right? Those witnesses preclude the waters from working. Rav Yosef, some of the Rav Yosef says, no way. That can't be. That can't be. The waters have to work. The waters always work, even if there's Eidos. Why Rabbi say, Vaha imar zchus tolala. Rabbi say, now, there are exceptions, right? Now, we're going to talk about this. There is a concept, Rabbi say, of zchus tolala. Zchus tolala sometimes is a woman could have a merit, a certain zchus, and that zchus ultimately, again, could not prevent the effects of the water, but what? Delay the effects. Rabbi say, by the way, I just want to point out, the confluence of our limud, right? What were we just learning before? We were just learning before about the fact that sometimes you can have a righteous person who, because of other circumstances, and we didn't get into it yet, so the realities could change. So we'll say, comes along Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, the waters always work. The waters always work. Even if there's eidos, the waters always work. The one exception is you can have a concept, ultimately, where zchus tola. Zchus tola means she could possess a particular merit which would delay the effects of the water. So we'll say, now watch this. So what are they arguing about? Misnavna. We'll say, Misnavna refers to a woman who, at first, nothing happens to her as a result of the water, but she gradually kind of wastes away. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Misnavna the Rebbe, Disnan. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Chus tolo b'mayim amarim. So ultimately, again, if she has a particular merit that could delay the effects of the water, and what happens? So she's not going to give birth. She's not going to thrive, right? Ella misnavna v'holachas. She generally declines. And at the end, she dies the same death of the sota, which we'll discuss. Rav Sheshes Savar bein l'Rebbe bein l'Rabbanon havya misnavna. So ultimately, Rav Sheshes holds that both according to Rebbe and according to the Rabbanon, misnavna, that process begins immediately. Rav Yosef holds the Rebbe havya misnavna. He'll hold that according to Rebbe, there's a concept of misnavna. The Rabbanon lo havya misnavna. The Rabbanon reject this idea. So Masiv Rav Simi Barashi. So we'll say, so again, what we have over here is a fundamental machlokes, right? There's two things happening over here. We'll say, number one, which is the core machlokes we're focusing on over here, is does the existence of witnesses somewhere in the world prevent the waters from working? Rav Sheshes says yes. Yes. Rav Yosef says no. There's a sub-machlokes now, Rav Yosef, is do we say zuchus tolala? In the world of the waters of the sota, do we say that there's a concept that a woman could possess a requisite merit or some type of merit which would delay the effects of the water? Now, you can't escape the effects of the water. Well, if you're guilty, what can you do? You could delay it. What would the delay do? Misnavna, she generally declines, and ultimately, again, will die the same death, but just later on. So we'll say, let's analyze this. We'll say, Master of Siyam Rashi, first wide line, Siyam Rashi raised the kasha. So Master of Siyam Rashi, Shimon Omer, Ains was told, my mamarim, you can't say that a merit delays the effects of the water. Because if you do that, then Ata Omer was told, my mamarim, Matcha Ata Samayim Bifnei Kolana, Shema Shosos, Va'ata Motsi Shemra, Ala Torosh Shasu, Vein Omrim, Temeos Hayu, So let's listen to this. Rabbi Shimon says, we cannot accept the premise of Chus Tola. Rabbi said, do you know why? Do you know what happens when Rabbi says Chus Tola? What you effectively do is, that means if a woman drinks the water, nothing happens to her. So I would say, in general, we would say, what does that mean if a woman drinks water, nothing happens? What does that mean? She's innocent. If you start saying Chus Tola, you know what that means? You cast the pail on every single woman. That means when a woman drinks the water and doesn't die, they say, I knew she was guilty. I knew she was guilty. You know what? She starts Shabbos early. You know, she's a chatzos lady or whatever it is. You know, she has some other schos. So B'Shem says, you negate the entire impact of the water, and every woman, even a woman who doesn't die as a result of the water, still has this cloud of suspicion hovering over her. To which the Gemara says, no, to me, it was El Shtal, Schos, Temisa, Yeshem, Dinasayam. So we'll say, now, if you accept the premise that even witness, I must say, here's the problem. If you accept Rav Sheshes' premise that testimony anywhere in the world negates the effect of the water, I must say, that means that even when a woman drinks the water, nothing happens, so what are people going to say? There must be Edom somewhere. This lady, we know she's no good. Right? She definitely committed adultery. It must be there are witnesses somewhere, and that's why the waters didn't work. Atamotzi ra shem ra alataro sheshasu vein omrim temeos hayu ele sheshan Edom medina sayam. So I will say, so again, lemaisa, you're going to run into the same way that schus tolelo casts aspersions on the tahoros, Edom medina sayam will also cast aspersions on the tahoros. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Shimon Kamrit. Rabbi Shimon, Midischus Lotalya, Edim Nami Lotalu. Rabbi Shimon, the same way you reject the concept of Schus Tolala, you should also reject the concept of what? Of what? Of Edim Tolimlo. So Masiv Rav raises a kasha. Ve'elu Shimon Chosehen. Nisraf also, I will say, we're going to see, Before you turn the page, just take a look at the last Rashi in Amud Aleph. Shemin Chosein Nisrafos, Minchas Kinoos Shelo, Asiri Saifa, Kemach Sor Nisrafos Lamat. And I will say, we're going to talk about the idea that part of the Sota process, I will say, is she brings a carbon Mincha. Now watch this. There are a group of women whose Mincha cannot be offered up, but rather they are burned. Who are examples? Who are these women whose menachos are not offered? Of Elo Shemin Chosein Nisrafos, we'll say, Amadeis, Haomeres Temeani. It will say, now watch this. Let's say you have a woman who is in the Beis HaMikdash for the Sota process. Now we'll say, what happens? Let's say in the midst of this process, she gets cold feet. She does not want to drink the water. So what does she say? I'm Temea. We'll say, and in fact, brother, we're going to see, we push hard for a woman who is guilty to admit her guilt. Because Rabbi says it is 10 times better. Rabbi says, remember again, what happens if a woman in the middle of the sota process says, you know what, I commit adultery? What's the ramifications, Rabbi says? There's no death penalty, right? Because remember again, you can't be put to death based on your own admission, and there's no real testimony. So what does it do? It triggers the dissolution of the marriage. She's going to get her get. She's going to lose her ksuba. But at least what does she walk away with? Her life, right? Which is pretty big, which is pretty well said. I remember again, and especially based on what we learned before, right? Mia b'shem tov hava kaima, my da hava hava, she could start again, she could do tshuva, she could start again. So let's say, you have a case where she's in the Beis HaMikdash, she's offered up, she began the process of Karma Mincha, and she says, Tmeya ani, I did it. So what do? Or Shebao la'idim shi tmeya, or Rabbi say witnesses come and say she committed adultery, or to us, so fine. So we'll say, what's that halacha? If we would burn her mincha, in other words, we would not offer up the mincha in the normal way, but rather we would go ahead and burn it by the Beis HaDeshen. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. The asu edim emas, right? When are these witnesses coming? Ilema mikame detiktosh. So we'll say, if witnesses came, attesting to the fact that she committed adultery before the mincha was sanctified in a klisharis, tepuk lechulin. Then I will say, if it's before the mincha was consecrated, then what? Just let the mincha go. Then it's not a mincha. I will say, remember again, for a karma mincha, which is a meal offering, right? For it to become consecrated, what has to happen? It has to be put into a klisharis, into a service utensil. So now we're saying, if witnesses showed up and said that she's tmeya, ultimately what? Her mincha is not offered up on the mizbeach, rather it's burnt. So when are the witnesses showing up? If they're showing up before the mincha was put into a service utensil, then what? It's not a mincha. Just throw it out. Or you don't have to throw it out. It's chulin. El labasar de kadosh. Rather, it has to be witnesses are showing up after the karban mincha was sanctified in a service and clinically sharis. So here we go. I amrit bishlama my boat ginosa. See, if you say that halacha lemaisa, the water goes ahead and checks her. That was it. The water checks her one. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's right across. So watch this. If you say, not like Rav Sheshas, right? That even if there are witnesses, right? That she's Tamea, the water still works. If you say that the water still works, even when there are no witnesses, therefore, even if there are witnesses, Alma, Bas Mikdash Umakrifi. Then Abba say her ability to offer up a karban mincha, right, for sota, works. V'chi kadosh me'ikara shaper kadosh. And therefore what? Halacha l'maisa, when she originally consecrated the karban mincha, it was a proper consecration. U'mishum hachi mincha se'nefer. Now, when witnesses show up and say that she's tmei, obviously you can't go on with the sota process. They will say, hear the chap over here. Remember, we're arguing on our sheshes. Remember, what we'll say, what did Rosh Hashanah say? Rav Sheshes said that Allah Chalamaisa, if there are witnesses anywhere in the world, right? We'll say, what does that do? Totally invalidates the sota process. So we'll say, okay, now we're trying to show the following case. Right? Again, she's in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Rachel's in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens? She goes ahead and she has a karban mincha. She's getting ready for the sota process. After she went ahead and she put, right, the mincha was put into a klisharis. So what happened? Edim came along and said, she's tamish. We saw two witnesses. We saw she committed adultery. Okay. We'll say, what does that do to the sota process? What does that do? Obviously, shuts it down. What do we do with her karban mincha? Burn it. Not in the mizbeach, right? Because you can't offer it up anymore. On the Beis HaDesh, right? The place of the ash. So now we'll say, now the Gemara says, now 1 second. If you say that the sota process could work, even if there are witnesses somewhere that we don't know about, then this whole thing makes sense. But if you subscribe to the idea of Sheshas, that if there are witnesses anywhere in the world, that totally derails the sota process, if that's the case, im amrit inamai bodkinosa, mitigali milsalam afreya, we should say, it should be revealed retroactively, tichi kadish veikara bitalis kadish. Then we'll say, it turns out that, well, when Rav Sheshas, if you're right, then it turns out there are witnesses. Then we'll say, if there are witnesses, what does that tell me? The entire sota process was invalid from the beginning. And therefore, it turns out that when they consecrated the mincha in the klisharis, it was what? A mistaken consecration. The seifak lechulin. And it should go out to chulin. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, But the Gemara says, no, the consecration was a good consecration. Now that witnesses come, that shuts down the sota process. There's no more. You have to burn the mincha off the Mizbeach. That tells us, Rabbi said, that we reject the position of Rav Sheshes. And even the presence of unknown witnesses does not preclude the sota process from progressing. I'm Rav Yehuda. No, maybe not. This is a pretty wild case. Rav Yehuda midiskarta. When be the case, Rav Osai, when the witnesses show up and say that she committed adultery, Rav Osai, maybe they're not talking about an event that occurred beforehand, but rather kigon shezinsa ba'azara. Sometimes you have to admire the chutzpah, right? So right. Just go big or go home, right? So I say again. I say, what's the case? The case is where she committed adultery in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. The case is not where. Rabbi said, by the way, you say to yourself, that is crazy. No one would ever do that. Rabbi said, you know, the klal gadol when it comes to chait is never say no one would ever do that. Because Rabbi said, there's always someone, and to be honest, people when they look at my life could say stuff about me. Right? If someone were to watch the video of my life and see some of the things that I've done, any of us, they'd say, ah, normal people would never do that. Right? So let's say, so again, sometimes we have like these exaggerated cases and we say that Lamai said, no one would ever do that. Let's say, taiva is taiva, human nature is human nature. So Lamai said, it's incredible. So what's the case when we say that Edom are showing up and say that she committed adultery? It's fascinating. It's not talking about adultery that occurred, but rather they're coming along and attesting to another event that has occurred inside. She committed adultery inside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they're testifying about. And they're both saying, again, if two witnesses come along and say she committed adultery inside the Beis HaMikdash, what does that do to the sota process? What does it do? As it shuts everything down. To which the Gemara says, Dichi Kaddish Meishar Shaper Kaddish. Because they're both saying, again, in that case, actually the Karban Mincha that she consecrated was a proper Karban Mincha because it occurred before this latest act of adultery. Maskifa Misharshia. So Misharshia comes along and says, that's impossible. It's impossible that there's a case ultimately again of where she committed adultery inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that impossible? Palo Pirche Kuna Malavin Osa. Now we'll say we're going to see the process ultimately again when she gets to the Beis HaMikdash is that she is escorted by the young members of the Kuna. To which the Gemara says, oh no, that's the problem. Shezins me Pirche Kuna Atzman. Who was she mizana with, Rabbi Osei? Who was she mizana with? She was mizana with one of the Kohanim. Rabbi Osei, you'll say to yourself, really? A Kohen who's working in the Beis HaMikdash? Working in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be mizana with a woman? And the answer is, yeah. People, Rabbi Osei, do you not see it? Is it not stories every single day where people go ahead and throw away their entire life because they can't resist a temptation of Arayos? I will say, it's not even newsworthy anymore. It's not even newsworthy, it's so common. It's not even newsworthy anymore that you could have everything in the world, but because, again, temptation presents itself, and I cannot resist, I throw away my entire life simply because I succumb to a temptation. Yeah, so you can have a case of a Kohen who's in the basement, you're a Kohen, and it's your turn to serve in the... We'll say, remember again, how long out of the year does a Kohen get to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? At most, a week. And even in that whole week, maybe you're getting a day. Right? So we'll say, but yeah, sometimes that's the way it works. Sometimes we'll say temptation. And so I'll say, that's why I never stand in judgment of another person. Because the truth is, the power of temptation is so overwhelming that even though objectively it makes absolutely no sense, you're right, it makes no sense. Chet rarely makes sense. But that doesn't diminish the temptation. So now she, right? Rav Ashi says, no. Kigon shenitzchol in the kavel. Could be a case where Lamaisa, she wasn't mizana with one of the pirchei kohuna. She was mizana with someone else. But the pirchei kohuna are with her. To which the Gemara says, they're not with her every single time. She had to use the bathroom, right? To pirchei kohuna bekipa talila. Do you think the pirchei kohuna, right, are always hanging, right? Literally, again, hanging from her shetel, right? What do you think over here? Like, the pirchei kohuna are always with her? They're not always with her. So Lamaisa, even in the, as crazy as it is, even in the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash, if she has to use the restroom, The Pirkei Kuna not following her into the restroom, so maybe she was Mizana there. Incredible. Rav Papa says, the Olim Kedamina Meikara. Maybe not. Maybe as I said before, the Dika Amra Tebuk Lechulin. We'll say, maybe not. Maybe the testimony we're talking about is where, no, the Edom are showing up and attesting, not that she committed adultery now, but rather, we'll say, what are they referring to? The Edom are coming along and saying, hey, Ruvain, you know, you warned your wife about Shimon. Well, it wasn't just a seclusion. We're here to tell you she actively committed adultery. That's the case. To which the Gemara says, "V'tikamrat tepek lechulin midiraban." But I will say, but as we said before, well, if that's the case, according to what Rav Sheshe said, follow this train of thought. According to Rav Sheshe, who says that what? If there are witnesses anywhere in the world, what does that do to the Sota process? What does it do? It derails it and shuts it down. So when she's in the Beis HaMikdash now, witnesses show up and say, Rachel was Mizana with Shimon. So we'll say, what do we do with her mincha? So the Mishnah said, what do we do with her mincha? We burn it. But one second, you shouldn't burn it. It should go out to Chulin. It should be a mistaken consecration. Because according to Rav Sheshes, the entire Sota process should be shut down, not just now, but retroactively as well. And it should turn out that the consecration of the Karban Mincha was a mistaken consecration. The Mincha doesn't need to be burned. The Mincha's Chulin. So why doesn't it become Chulin? You're right. Midrabanon. Rebbe said, Midrabanon, we burn the Mincha. Why? Gezer Hashem Yomru, Mosiya Miklai Sharis Lechol. Because Rebbe said, it's a dangerous proposition to take a Karban Mincha from a Kli Sharis and to go ahead and give it to you to give home to make bread, right? In other words, we're concerned that people will erroneously interpret the halacha to say that even once something was in a kli shares, it could be deconsecrated. And as Rabbah says, so what's happening over here is as follows. Rabbah is suggesting that maybe the Mishnah can align with Rav Sheshes' view. If that's the case, then the mincha should be totally deconsecrated. Midrabanan, we make it remain consecrated. Why? Out of the concern that people will misinterpret the halacha and assume that something could go from a kli sharis to chulin. Okay, so Master Ramari is a kasha. Nitmeis mincha sat shelo kitsha b'kli. So I'll say, let's say again, let's say she becomes tamea. Until before it became consecrated, her mincha became consecrated. Harei kichala menachas v'tifta. It's like any other mincha, and ultimately again can be redeemed. Misha kitsha b'kli. Once it becomes consecrated kli sharis, harei kichala menachas v'tisarif. Ultimately, again, it's like any other mincha, I will say, and it should be burnt. Kideish HaKometz. What happens, we'll say, if the Kometz, remember again, out of an entire Karban Mincha, the only part burned on the Mizbeach, remember again, is the three fingerfuls that the coin scoops out. What if the Kometz was consecrated? And the coin didn't have a chance to offer it up before he died or she died. Right? Hari Kechala Menachos V'Tisarif. Ultimately, again, the mincha is burnt. Kara the Kometz. What happens if the Kometz itself was already offered? Below hispik le'echol shirayim, ad shemesu ad shemesihi, and ultimately again the shirayim weren't consumed before he died or she died. Hare kechol amenachos v'tochal. Ultimately, and can be consumed. Why? Shalasavik ba mitchila kipra sveka v'halchula. Because ultimately, what's it? This entire mincha is only being brought on a safek. The entire sota process itself is a safek. So ultimately, again, mission accomplished and move on. Ba'ola edim shitimea. So we'll say, what happens? All right, Basino, we'll have to stop here. I know I'm stopping mid-brace. I'm sorry. We'll stop right over here. Meretz Hashem, we'll say, so remember, what we are left with over here, what we're left with is the looming position of Rav Sheshes, who says, if there are edim anywhere in the world, that shuts down the sota process. That's Rav Sheshes. Rav Yosef says, absolutely not. Otherwise, you're undermining the authenticity of the entire sota process. We'll say, to be continued tomorrow, Shkoyach.